Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Menachos Samach Tes. We begin on the second line. Boy, Rami Baruchama. I have a question, says Rami Baruchama, regarding the Shtei Alechem that permit us to stop bringing Karbanos, offerings, even Bikurim, the first fruits, which are brought to the Beis HaMikdash, from the new season, from the new crop. So first comes Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, and that opens the door, clicks on the green light to allow further offerings of the new crop. Shtei Alechem, Hanotza Sharyu, Vechanotza Sharyu. So we're speaking about fruit. It's grown on a fruit tree. They go through two steps in their final development. We have the Hanotza, which is the blossoming. We have Chanotza, when you start discerning the mini fruit there, right? And then it develops into a proper fruit. How developed must this new fruit, let's say a grape, how far in its growth, how much growth must it achieve in order for it to be covered by the Shtei Alechem, which would allow it to be brought eventually in the Beis HaMikdash? So if it's not yet grown anything, when the Shtei Alechem is being offered, of course, it will not benefit from the Shtei Alechem. It will not be covered by the Shtei Alechem of this year. And when eventually it grows, it can't be used as a carbon, it can't be brought because it wasn't yet permitted. But if it's somewhat, into its development, Hanotza, Chanotza, and at that point, Shavuos comes around and we have Shtei Alechem. Down the road, can you bring this fruit this year? Or not? Hanotza Sharyu, or Chanotza Sharyu? Is it the blossoming stage which achieves this coverage, or Chanotza, which is further, into the process? Well, my Hanotza, my Chanotza, which Hanotza or Chanotza are you referring to? Ilim Chanotza, Hanotza, the pera of the fruit that we're talking about? Or Chanotza means of the fruit, the pera? Why go that far? Hashta Hashrasha Sharia. We learned yesterday that even taking root prior to the Omer already connects you to the Omer. You consider it somewhat developed and you can be covered by the Omer's heter. Hanotza v'chanotza, but of course Hanotza v'chanotza, which are further down the road, of course. So as we learned in the Mishnah, in terms of grain, just merely taking root before the Omer and or before Shtei Alechem will give it that connection and will give it that heter accomplished by the Omer Shtei Alechem. You don't need it to have a form of any fruit or any grain. Just the rooting in the ground is enough to connect it to this year's process. It goes without saying if the fruit is actually visible, or right? Of course. Ella, rather, Hanotza de Ola was speaking about the leaf which precedes the fruit, which began to sprout. The Hanotza de Ola, or it's further in its development. Again, the leaf itself. Is that ample? We have a Kiash Rasha. Is that considered parallel to the taking root of a wheat kernel? And it now connects to this year's season and gets the coverage of the Shtei Alechem. Oy loyu, perhaps no, you can't really relate the two processes. It's too early in the game. By grain, we say rooting is enough, but over here, a leaf is not really substantial. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Boy, Rav Bar Rav Chanan, I have another question. Chitin Shazoran Bekarka. He took some wheat kernels, stuck it into the ground, planted it into the ground. And now a day later, we have the Omer being brought. And he decides to go back and pick out those grain from the ground. Is it mutter to eat? Does it connect to the Omer while it's in the ground or not? So let's see. Omer matiran, or ein Omer matiran? Does it have the heter of the Omer or not? Hey Chidami, how exactly is this happening? Either ashrush. So the Gemara is assuming that he's not going back and taking it out. It's a question of further growth. So he planted wheat and it took root and it grew, and the question is, does it have the heter of this year's Omer? So really it depends. when it took root, right? We discussed this yesterday. Either asher stanina, either la asher stanina. If it took root, certainly it gets the benefit of this year's Omer. And we have that in the Mishnah. Likewise, if it did not take root, then it doesn't relate to this year's Idli Ashers. We also have a Mishnah Tanina that it's not Motor until next year. It's not. We have a Mishnah. Mishushu Kam Omer. If it took root before the Omer, then it relates to this year's crop, this year's season. It's covered by the Omer, Erme Matir, and you can eat it after the Omer is brought Vimla, but otherwise it relates to next year's cycle. Asurin, it's off limits. Ad Sheyava Omer Abba, until next year's Omer. So what's the question? Letzricha must be speaking to Chatzdinu. What happened was that he harvested, he cut off the grain before the Omer was brought. Vizarinu kaidim la'Omer. And he planted it before Pesach, before the Omer. V'asr Omer v'chalaf alayu. The Omer passed it by, which means to say, we're now after the Omer, which was brought when the wheat was still stuck in the ground. But it didn't take root as of yet. It's still lying in the ground. And the question is, the question posed was, can I go pick them out of the ground and eat them? So what's the question? What are the factors at play? Shall we say? Well, it's like just plain grain, which of course, once the Omer is offered, the grain is mutter. Or shall we say no? Grain in a container, yeah. It's considered a food item, but it's in the ground. It's been treated like seeds. It's been planted. It's bottle. It becomes part and parcel of the landscape. It's not treated like grain any longer, so it can't really benefit from the Omer's offering, and it's not mutter. Okay, kiman d'shadya b'kado, is it as though it's been placed in a pitcher, a container, damya, right? As compared to that, v'sharinu Omer, and therefore the Omer would be matter it. And you can pick it out and eat it. Or you can say bottle lul gabe aro, it's bottled to the ground, and it is considered like a non-food entity, and it cannot really become mutter by the Omer. So is it like wheat or like part of the ground? And this has several other additional applications as well. How do we define this material in the ground? Is it food stuff or is it land? So we know that there's something called a no. If a fellow gets overcharged, undercharged, if it's a substantial, inflation, then he has a right to demand a refund, in some cases to nullify the sale. But the din I know only applies to metatlan, to movable items. It doesn't apply to karka. So back to this question, what's the status of this wheat in the ground? Is it like wheat? And the rules of I know would apply, or is it like karka, and it would be exempt from I know? Yesh lein I know, ein lein I know. Now, how does this play out? Hechidomi, give me an example of an unfair, transaction regarding this kernel arrangement. Hechidam, ilayim ed amalei shadoi bashit. Are we speaking that Reuben hired Shimon to plant him up, plant up the farm, with six, sacks of grain of seeds? And turns out he only did five. Also, sadi, two of them come along and testify. Amri, tolei shadoi lechamisha. We know he only planted five sacks, five kurv, whatever. Well, in that case, of course, he has a right to demand refund, because that's not Einoa. That's a fellow misleading him. He's denying what's rightfully his. I hired you for six, you gave me five. That's not Einoa. Einoa means it was an evaluation, an overcharge in price or whatever, right? Something which is pliable, which is a fluctuate. Here it's an absolute, definite, specific amount that he shortchanged him on. So whether you consider this karka or metalman is full right for refund. Vama Rabba tells us, anything which has a definite size, shavishkal, weight, or minion, or it's counted, then afilu pachas b'chdei anochoz, even if it's a small discrepancy, has a right to undo it. So it's not in line with huchos no. You rip me off. So whether it's karka or not, have a right to a refund. So there's no question that in this case, you would have a right to claim it back. Oh, the Amalei rather was speaking that there was some sort of undefined inconsistency. Oh, the Amalei, Reuben hired Shimon to plant But he didn't give him a specific, you know, quantity. He didn't say 6 sacks. He says, you know, the way it's kibbutz gamalkan, the way it's commonly done, right? Shadoi ba, throw in, you know, a proper amount of seeds, whatever it needs. And we all understand that there is a, you know, a common standard on that. Vasa sahadi. Turns out he didn't. He shortchanged him. He didn't come along. But I mean, they say le shadoi ba kibbutz. He didn't. This is not up to par. He didn't put in as much as he should. So this is a classic case of Aino. Does it apply to this case? Karka would be exempt from Aino. But is this a seed situation considered karka or not? And this loops us back to the original equation. Yesh lein Aino, regarding these seeds, do we have Aino? The command of Shadi Bukadu Dami, Yesh lein Aino, is it like material in a container? So you didn't give me enough, you shortchanged me, there's Aino. Oidim or Batalu Lagabe Karka, it's part of the ground, and there's no Aino. Third application would be regarding Shavua. We know that you only make Shavua on Metaflin. You don't make a Shavua in response to a claim on Karka. Nishboin Alein. Do you make a Shavua regarding these seeds? Or not? So if there's some sort of a claim and whatever, right? Again, the question is, Kedishadi Bekadi Dhamma Uku Metaflin Dhamma. Are these considered like in a container and they're like Metaflin? And therefore they're subject to the Shvua system, Vinishboin Elaine, or perhaps not. Oidilma Batalal Gaba Karka. They have been planted in the ground, they're part of the landscape, they're part of the karka, karki domu, treated like land, and there's no shvua on land claims. Vinishboin Elaine, take it, we'll let it stand. Bayi Rami Barcham. Here comes an interesting shayla. Chitin Shibiglali Bakar, Usairin Shibiglali Behemamau. He discovered some wheat kernels in the Glali Bakar, in the waste of the animal, of the bakar, of the cow, whatever. And so Aaron, he discovered some barley kernels, shbulal behema, the deposits of the behema. Mao, what is their status? Now, regarding what? Lamai, with respect to what? Ilay modla tumuya tumas oichla. Are you asking whether they're considered, still have a status of food, regarding being susceptible to tumma that relates to food? Tanina, we've already had a discussion about that elsewhere. We have a brisa, chitin shibari bakar. If you find wheat in the waste of an animal, and likewise barley, so urn, shibgol behema, well, it depends. Chishav alein lachilaviya decided that he's going to use them for food. That's not enough to grant them food status, which they already lost, while, you know, the animal consumed them. Ein metami tumasoichon, they're not subject to tumasoichon. Because he merely, you know, mentally designated them. That's not enough to change their status. But Lokta and Lachile picked them out for the sake of eating them. That affects a status change. That restores their food status. Because we know that when you do an act, a masa, which pronounces the, you know, the status of the item, that gives it status. More than just, you know, mental designation. So regarding Tumas Eichlin, we have a simple formula. What's the question? El Menachis. Rather, the question is, can you use this material for Mincha? Well, obviously not. It's unbecoming. It's disgusting. Pshita, of course not, Deloy. Hakrivei no lepachasecha, says the Pas. Would you dare offer this to your mayor as a gift? Hayir tzicha, hayisafanecha, would he favor you on this? Of course not. You don't do this to Hashem Chas V'Shem. Leitzricha must be that you're asking as follows. Zenaktinu v'zareinu. He picked them out, but he replanted them. And now we have new crop. And the question is, could I use it? V'kabayi lasuyei menachas menach. He wishes to use the new crop for mincha. My, can you or not? Mishum demi susu. Is the issue because it's disgusting? Well, once it's replanted and regrown, it's a new entity. V'chivin dezarinu, azlam susayi, the mios disappears. And we don't have to reckon with that issue. I do more you can say. Mishum chish susu. That when you discover this kernel, these kernels in this situation, it really, it's not up to par in terms of its quality. Rashi says, once it was digested, shuv ein megadlin chitin malein ubriin kid mikara, can no longer, you know, it does no longer has the ability to produce proper high quality, you know, grain. Vashna mikhusha, it still retains that weakness. Even second generation still is affected. It's in the DNA. Take us, we leave it unresolved. Boy, Rabbi Bacham, a new question. Pil shebala. Okay, the elephant swallowed a full basket made of reeds, made of, you know, that type of material. Kfifa mitzris, made of nitzarim, reeds, branches. V'kio derech be'sarei. And it let go of it, discharged it as waste. And you still have a full basket here, but it's been through the system. Mo, what is the basket's status? Regarding what? Lamai, ilay mele miftel tumasa. The question is, does it lose its susceptibility to tuma? Is it no longer considered a kli? Because it went through the digestive system of the elephant, tanina? So actually, we have a mission about that, and it says that it's still going to be a kli. It doesn't lose its status. Kol ha-kelim, all types of utensils, yordin l'idei tumasa machshava. It could descend into tuma, means it can attain susceptibility to tuma b'machshava, by merely designating it. So you have some sort of material. You say, okay, this is its final stage. This is considered for me a final product. It is now open to tuma. But ve'in oidlin b'tumas, and once it achieves that status of tuma, of susceptibility to tuma, it doesn't lose it. Ela b'shini maisa, unless there's an actual drastic change, like breakage or something. But here we have a kli intact. Nothing happened to it in a visible sense. So certainly, it still has its tuma status. Like Tzricha must be speaking that you're asking as follows. The bala hutzin, bavdinu kfifa mitzris. The animal swallowed raw material, branches, and somehow inside it convoluted and turned into like a basket. So the question is it considered a kli with respect to tuma? Shall we say, miyava ikul, that the branches, while in the system, are considered digested. Digested materials no longer retain their wood classification. Vavaleke clay, glolim. It's like utensils manufactured from animal waste, which are not considered kalim for tuma. Ukle adama, like earth kalim. Ve'em makam tuma, they're not makam tuma. Da'am, as we learned, clay avonim, clay glolim, clay adama, not ma'im makam tuma. Loi midiri Torah, not based on the Chumash. Loi midiri Torah, not based on the Rabban. That's one way to look at it. Or you can say loi vehicle. No, wood material is resistant to the effect of digestion, and therefore it's a perfectly fine basket made of perfectly fine wood. Says the Gemara, well, actually, we will find this as well in the Torah. Everything you can find the source. Why can't you clarify this point based on the following halacha? Damar ulo, mishum b'shim ben yitzbar yitzadak. Masa, with a story similar to this. Ubalu, shnei ze'evim, two wolves swallowed. Unfortunately, they swallowed two children, shnei tinaik, two babies, bevar yadin, in this place, bevar yadin, and they discharged the flesh and the bones of the victims. And the question was, what was the status of these materials? Uba masel fnei chacham, the question was posted to chachamim. V'tiros habasar. On the one hand, they said that the basar that was discharged by the wolves are tahar because they've been digested and no longer regarded as true basar, not considered basar of meis, not metame. But when it comes to the atzamas, the bones, they still retain their tuma. So the fact that they were metar the basar indicates that the digestive system has a halachic effect on the item, and it no longer is considered the original item. Well, you can't compare basar flesh, which is softer than wood materials. Shani basar derachach, basar is very different than your branches because it's soft, so it's affected by the system, but not the branches. Says the one, actually, come to think of it, why can't we go to the second part of that halacha there and prove otherwise? For livshet misiv, why don't you clarify from the next part where it says v'timus atzamais? They regarded the bones as tamei. Apparently, when you're tough, like a bone, you retain your status despite having gone through the digestive system. Same with the wood materials of the basket. No, you can't prove anything from bones because they're on the other side of the extreme side of the spectrum. They're very tough and hard and resistant. So you can't really prove anything from there. So again, basa that went through the system is tar. Atzamas are not. Maldi nitzarim, these hutzin, these little branches or whatever, that remains to be resolved. A boyer abzeri comes in a real interesting shayla. Chitin shiur de ba'avim. Okay, so wheat arrives with the rain. Rashi says it came through with the rain. How did it get to the rain? How did it get to the clouds? Kshashas ba'avim b'kyan is when the clouds sucked out, the moisture out of the ocean. Bolus fina malei chitin. Unfortunate ship laden with wheat got caught up in this twister, And it ended up there, and sure enough, your backyard is raining cats and dogs, raining wheat. Mao, what's the status of this wheat? Said the Gemara. Lamai, regarding what? What do you want to use it for? You want to use it for a mincha? Amayla, what's wrong with it? It's perfectly fine wheat. Elo shtei alechem. You want to use it on shtei alechem on Shavuos. Mai, can you or not? Now the pasuk says Moshe Seichem. Amar Rachman. The pasuk specified it has to come from local Eretz Yisrael wheat. Lafuka dechutz laaretz aloy, as opposed to outside Eretz Yisrael. Avol de avim shaper dami. But if it's coming off the clouds, it's local wheat. Happens to be transported by the clouds. That's okay. Or then what you can say? No, Moshe Seichem dafka. It has to come in local. Locally supplied, a filo of the oven, namila, you can't come from the clouds. Now, Tesis asks, I mean, what's the problem? If you know that it came locally, who cares how it was transported, whether by boat, train, tram, if it's just raw wheat? So that's why Tesis learns differently. He says, actually, we're speaking that it was a miraculous phenomenon. It just rained down Ayyidei Neis. We find a similar Gemara in Sanhedrin when meat came down. So this was miraculously produced wheat. And the question is, can you use it for shtei alechem? Apparently for menachas it's okay, but shtei alechem, which requires moish v'yisechem, has to be locally grown, perhaps this doesn't qualify. Says the me'ikuk yaigavna, have you ever heard of such a phenomenon? Yeah. We know one time in history that it rained down wheat. And yeah, k'da Adi, that was his name, Adi, Tayyip was Arab, nechisalei rum. Suddenly he has this pile, this layer of wheat, rum kizva. Kizva is a tefach high layer of wheat, you know, 4 inches of wheat tomorrow in Toronto. Rum kizva dechiti, but lots of parsi throughout an area of 3 parses. He had a huge shipment of wheat, which came down in a very unusual manner. Boy, Rav Shimon Pasi, comes a new shayla. So we know that the bringing of the Omer permits further consumption of the new grain crop, right? What about shiboilas? Sheviashlish. So this stalk, this wheat, has grown a third of its total growth, which Rashi says is considered, gemar pri. It's considered like a pri. It has the status of a grain once it achieves that level of growth. So it's considered like grain, and it can relate to the oimer, and can get the benefit and get the heter for further consumption. And that happened before the oimer, before Pesach. Sheviashlish kaidin oimer. Then, va'akra, he pulled it out of the ground. Okay? A full stalk. Vishasla, and then the Omer was offered, and then he replanted it. He decided he wanted to grow a little more. Vishasla lachar Omer. Vaisifan, it grew more. It developed the full, pack of grain. So, interestingly, in this stalk, in these grain, you have sort of, it's a split identity. You have part of it which has been mutter. And now, the rest, which grew later, belongs to the next year's crop. So that does not have the heter of the Omer. So you have this sort of ongoing conflict within the grain. Part of it is mutter, part of it is asr. Which one do you follow? The original or the additional? But you see, if I added more, ma, what's the status? Plus, ikras, then we focus on the original part, b'shari Omer. The Omer was matter that. So the whole thing is mutter. It's the ikka that counts. That's considered the primary element of oydilim basetis avazlin. Or do you say no? The fact is, it grew more, and it grew more after the oymer, and you can't eat it. What's the sefazlin? You follow the sefaz. Vach, you have oymer abo, and you have to wait until next year's oymer. Well, tishalim hod amar abo rabbi yechanan. Perhaps we can clarify this based on halacha of rabbi yechanan, who deals with a similar case. We have this sort of joint entity. Original being Asr, the addition being Mutter. He says, look at the original part. So we have a Shaila regarding Erla. Says Rabbi Yechanan, Yalda, you have a young sapling, young tree, which is considered Erla. So the fruit on that tree, they're a little teeny mini fruit that have just begun to grow, and they're Erla. Shesivcha, he attached the young tree, Biskena, to an older tree. They grafted the trees. The older tree is way past Erla, no issues. What about Paris? In the yard, on the small tree, you have Paris growing. And now, after you grafted it, you attached it to the old tree, it's growing and blossoming like amazing. Afilu hoisib masayim, even if the new growth outnumbers the original growth by a number of 200 to 1. So originally you had a little teeny banana, and now it's, not banana, a little teeny apple. and now it's huge, humongous. Right? 200 times as much, which typically is the formula you use to be mevatel arla. That makes bittel on arla. Nope. In this case, you would think it's okay because, look, the substantial additional growth of heter should nullify the original teeny-weeny apple, and there, asr, it's asr. I feel hoisim asayim asr, even if it's 200 times as much, it's asr, apparently. The ikar is what carries the day. And likewise, we have another halacha regarding kalayim, v'amar shmuel v'arachmen v'am yenison, batzol, you have an onion, which doesn't belong, has no business being planted in a vineyard, that's kalayim, sheshos lebekarim, planted in a vineyard, nekar karimen, a little while later they uprooted, they destroyed the vineyard, so we have a little bit that's a problem, because it grew together with the, but post-destruction, whatever comes along is mutter now, it's no longer a kalayim, even, again, if it's 200 times as much as the original, it's asr, so you see that the ikar is what carries the day, because there's an ikar in there, that's asr, so perhaps the same regarding the aymar, the ikar was mutter, Tosefos is now subjugated to the ikar, it's mutter. Well, says the word, he go for coming boiler. His question actually did relate to these halachas. He wasn't sure whether Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan, who seemed to allow the ikar to determine the facts, determine the halacha, was it because they actually believed that the ikar is what determines, or perhaps we're not sure and we go the chumra. So in those cases, it was a chumra to go with the ikar. The ikar is arla, the ikar is kalayim. But in a case where, if you would follow the ikar, it would actually provide a leniency, such as in the case of the aymer, where the ikar is the mutter and the addition is the asr, perhaps you wouldn't take it that far. Higuv gama bayla. Mipshat pshitilu rabban, are the rabban certain? The basr ikar, then we always go with the ikar. Lo yishno lekula, whether it generates a leniency, such as following the ikar of the by the aymer, which is mutter. Lo yishno lechomer, or if it creates a chumra, like the case of the kalayim and the arla, or dilmo, perhaps fukim sakla, they're not sure which way to go. L'chumra minyan, we only apply it l'chumra. But in our case, we're looking at the ikar as the focal point, is going to generate a kula, l'kula lem. We don't say it, lem, we don't take it that far. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Okay, let's do a quick chazara. We spoke about the beginning of the growth process of the fruit tree. At what point is it considered far enough in the process to be related to this year's Shtei Alechem. We spoke about the leaf, you know, budding and growing. We're not sure about that. Oh, wheat planted in the ground, pre-rooting. Is it still considered wheat regarding all kinds of halachas, or is it part of the ground? And as a din of karka, we discussed the kernels discovered in the waste material of the animal, whether if it's replanted, the new crop, is it roif or mincha, or is it poor quality and not suitable? We spoke about the elephant with the basket. We spoke about the miraculous wheat, whether you can use it for the Shtei Alechem, and whether you look at the Ikar or Tosefos regarding all kinds of halachas, Omer, Kalayim, and Arla. All the best to you, Hatzlacha Rabba.